It is time to talk health matters. We do that with the Heart and Stroke Foundation and Corey Erasmus, who's one of the registered dietitians at the Heart and Stroke Foundation, is standing by to chat to us. And Corey, good morning. Welcome on this Tuesday morning.
Morning, Wayne. Thank you for having me again.
And a pleasure. Pleasure is always a pleasure having you. And thanks for joining us. And today, we're talking about a topic which is one of my pet peeves when it comes to social media. But we won't go down there now. But that's influencers. And today, we're talking about the influence of social media on food choices, specifically how marketing and influencers shape our diets. That's the intro. And the question, Corey, is how do you think social media platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, etc. influence people's food choices?
Yes, so I think that social media has really become a game changer when it comes to how we think about food. If we think about platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, they're basically a food advertiser's dream come true because they can serve up these gorgeous, mouth-watering images of delicious meals that can really influence what we crave, what we buy, even how we eat. It's not even just the ads themselves. So like you said, it's also the influencers and celebrities who partner with these food brands to showcase their products in a way that feels very relatable to the consumer. So this can be really effective in making certain foods seem more appealing or even trendy. So here's the thing, though. Social media can have a downside when it comes to our eating habits, because if we are constantly being exposed to images of unhealthy foods, like especially fast foods and sugary drinks, that can actually shift our perceptions of what foods we want to eat and alter how we think healthy eating looks like, especially young people, where they consume large amounts of social media. It can be a major source of information about food, nutrition, healthy eating. So we really need to ask ourselves, what types of food are being advertised constantly, and are these foods good for us?
Right, right. And then, you know, ask the questions yourself as to what are possibly, what are the motives of person X pushing a particular food or a type of food? You know, what's motivating them? Are they maybe being paid, which more than likely is the case, which means that it's just another job? As opposed to maybe a platform, if I may use the Heart and Stroke Foundation as an example, that has got clear motives in terms of what they're promoting and scientifically backed plans, which get promoted as well.
Yes, Wayne, definitely, you hit the nail on the head there. We have to ask ourselves, what are the motives behind these influencers and ads?
And then talking about the influencers, what role do influencers play in shaping our diets?
Yeah, so as we've mentioned, they've become incredibly powerful in shaping our behaviors and attitudes, including when it comes to food and nutrition. So they're often seen as relatable role models, and they're opinions or recommendations can really influence what we want to buy and what we want to eat. So they've made a huge impact on the way we consume and share food content. So they're not always just sharing recipes and cooking tips, but that comes with personal stories and experiences, which makes their content feel much more authentic and trustworthy. But as we said, they can easily perpetuate unhealthy eating habits and normalize poor food choices, especially when they partner with brands to promote products and services. And like you said, it's hard to know what is genuine and what is just a sales pitch. So we've seen many food trends and fad diets, especially very restrictive diets, being popularized without consumers necessarily having all the information that's required.
Right. And then I mean, and there have been many, many of those by celebrities, sports personalities, and the like.
Exactly, yes.
And what are some common tactics used by food marketers to influence consumer behavior?
Definitely. So food advertisers are masters at pushing our buttons and influencing our behavior. So they use all sorts of strategies to get us to buy their products, often by leveraging our emotions, desires, or even our subconscious decision-making processes. So if we look at some common tactics, first of all, have you ever seen a product label as healthy or natural and assumed it was really good for you? Mm-hmm. So that can be a health halo that they use, making a product sound a lot healthier than it really mm-hmm. is. So misleading labeling is a major factor. You know, a product can claim to be low fat, but then actually be high in sugar.
Right.
So that all about creating a perception that isn't necessarily true. Mm. And then they also use social proof. So often you'll see customer testimonials and reviews that make a product seem trustworthy, or especially limited time offers that create that sense of urgency and make us feel like we need to buy the product now. Mm. They also use targeted advertising with specific demographics and interests. And as we've been saying, they partner with influencers and other brands to create products and promotions that seem exciting and new. So it's all very, very clever and aimed at making you buy this product. But it's essential for us as consumers to be aware of these tactics so we can make informed decisions about what we eat and what we buy.
And what you mentioned there, when they, for instance, advertise low in fat but fail to mention high in sugar, for argument's sake, that's almost lying by omission.
Yes, it's leaving out. It's that where you leave out a certain information and highlight others.
Sort of to create, like you said, create that illusion. And how can consumers critically evaluate the information they see on social media and in food marketing and advertising? And I think there, you know, we bombarded daily with various adverts and advertising on all the platforms. So, you know, how do we sift it out and know that that product is right? And wait a minute, this influencer is actually trying to push boxes.
Yes, definitely. So this touches on your point of earlier of knowing, of making sure the source of your information is reputable. So navigating the world of food marketing can be very tricky, but there are some simple steps that you can take to make it. Firstly, as we've been talking about labels, read your labels carefully. Don't just glance at the front of the package. Don't just go according to the claim they make, such as low in fat or so. Flip it over, check the ingredient list, check the nutrition facts, and double check any claims that they make on the label. Also, be wary of influencers and celebrity endorsements. So just because someone is famous, promoting a product doesn't mean it's good for you. Check the source, verify their credibility and expertise. And again, remember that influencers are often paid to promote products.
Right.
As you said, it's their job. And that brings us to consult credible health organizations like World Health Organization or the Heart and Stroke Foundation, as you mentioned. So these organizations, we aim to provide unbiased information that is evidence-based, because our main concern is the health of the public. Mm-hmm. It's not for profit or selling a product.
Right. And now that we've kind of slammed social media and influencers right into the ground, how can social media be used to promote healthy eating habits? You know, let's take this animal and make it work for us.
Yes, no, definitely. So while there are dangers and negatives associated with social media when it comes to food, the truth is that social media media can also be very powerful in promoting healthy eating habits and a positive body image. So one way is through recipe sharing. So imagine scrolling through your feed and seeing a delicious, easy to make recipe that just happens to be healthy too. So it's a great way to inspire people to get cooking and trying food. Meal planning is another one. So by sharing meal planning ideas and inspiration, we can help each other plan healthy meals that fit into our lifestyles and our budgets. Also, food photography. So a beautiful photo of health, of a healthy dish can be incredibly inspiring and make people want to try healthy foods. Social media really can be a great way to connect with experts in the field. Like we said, you can make sure that the content that you consume is from health experts like registered dietitians, health organizations like the Heart and Stroke Foundation. So again, it's just all about making sure you get contact from the right people.
Right. And you know, with the advent of social media, well, when I say advent, I mean, it's been around with us for probably the best part of 20 plus years. You know, as long as the internet's been around, we've had forms of social media. And before that, you know, you could pick up magazines, which was probably the precursor to the influences that we find on social media. But the trick would be, as you mentioned, to filter. You know, you've got to apply your own filters, and you've got to just not take everything at face value.
100%.
And Corrie, just in terms of availability of credible information, the Heart and Stroke Foundation has a presence on the internet, on Facebook. How can one go about contacting you?
Yes, definitely. So we are on all the major social media platforms. We are on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, LinkedIn. So listeners can just search Heart and Stroke or Heart Stroke SA and they'll find us on that. We also have a website with lots of scientific-based resources for healthy eating, healthy living, and that is at www.heartfoundation.co.za, or they're welcome to call us on 021-422-1586.
Great. Corrie, thank you very, very much. Have a good week. Looking forward to chatting again next week, and don't forget, this chat will be on our and the Heart and Stroke Foundation's platforms later on today.
Thanks, Wayne.
Cheerio then. Thanks, Corrie. That's Corrie Erasmus, registered dietitian at the Heart and Stroke Foundation.